Hi there, a very happy new year and welcome along to The Sweet Spot. If you are already a member of The Sweet Spot audience, welcome back. Hope you had a great Christmas. And if you're new to us, let me tell you what the show is all about. It's me, Bruce Millington, and Steve Palmer, looking ahead each week to the best bets on the week's golf. We'll also look back on what happened the previous week. Obviously, we can't do that this week because nothing happened last week, but we've got an action-packed show, as well as the first tournament of the year, which is a star-studded affair. We'll get Steve's best bets for the US Money List and the race to Dubai, and we'll even see if he can land a majors spectacular accumulator. Hopefully, Steve's been studying very hard. Happy New Year, Steve. How was it for you, Christmas?
Hi, Bruce. Yeah. Christmas is the same as all the days at the moment. It's all, you know, our freedoms have been taken away, but we just got to dig deep. No, it was a good Christmas. The children enjoyed it, and they had a
smile. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. It's the only thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, adults who get worked up about Christmas are, you know, complete morons, if you ask me. It's all about the kids, isn't it? And they both thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did they get any golf equipment in their stockings?
Yeah. Both got loads of clubs now, some plastic ones as well as metal ones now, so a bit safer indoors. But they're kitted up to the nines.
Jolly good. And you've been studying hard, I hope. This is a really good start to the year, isn't it? The Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. Am I right in thinking it's a slightly bigger field than normal this year, Steve?
You are, yeah. They've changed the qualifying criteria. So we've got 42 runners going to post this week. So they're not all champions. The Tournament of Champions has a few players that aren't champions in there now, which is a bit queer. But if you got into the Tour Championship last season, then you qualify for this. Obviously, a ravaged schedule last year, and they wanted a few more players in the field. But good each way terms. Fifth, the first six in a lot of places this week. So 42 runners and six each way places up for grabs.
Brilliant. Okay, well, before Steve tells us who he thinks is going to win, let's give you a flavour of how good this tournament is. We'll look at the market leaders. We've got Dustin Johnson favourite at round about 6-1. Shop around not just for prices, but as Steve says, places as well. So round about 7-1, Justin Thomas. We've got John Rahm in there as well. Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau in 11. It's 16 bar. There's a lot of really, really big names. Steve, what kind of test is this? Is this big, wide open, sort of long Hawaiian hilly course where the bangers dominate, basically?
Yeah, the plantation course at Kapalua has been the curtain raiser for many a moon. But there were course changes after the 2019 edition. Course revisions, Ben Crenshaw are in charge of it. And they're trying to make it firmer and faster because the old grass got a little bit thatched and slow and sluggish. So they ploughed a lot of money into it to change the agronomy. So we got a firmer and faster test. 7,596 yards, par 73, only four par fives, only three par threes. Ideally you want a big hitter who scrambles well because these greens are absolutely enormous, full of undulations. Big hitter with plenty of touch is what we're after.
Okay, so there are 42 runners. How many of them are going to carry your selection?
I got four each way investments.
Okay, mate. Fire away with the top dog this week.
The top dog is Patrick Reed. A lot of players dusting themselves off after the Christmas break, having not played since the Masters in the middle of November. Plenty of rust in the system, a lot of players this week, but not so Patrick Reed. He finished third in the DP World Tour Championship last time out. That finished on December 13th. His scrambling in that event was absolutely jaw-droppingly good. He's got the magic fingers that you need for Kapalua. He's only had a couple of weeks off over the holiday season. He got back to the range with David Ledbetter just before the end of the year to sharpen himself up for the Century. He won this tournament in 2015. He was runner-up the following year. And crucially, last year, after the course changes, he made the playoff, lost the playoff to Justin Thomas. So Patrick Reed, perfect for this course, in solid form. I think he gets some overdue silverware.
Excellent. Steve, do you think with Patrick Reed that he's constantly sort of disrespected by the market a bit? I mean, you know, I know we've got this kind of really top echelon now of Johnson and Thomas and DeChambeau and Rahm. But, you know, he's really competitive. He's a winner, isn't he?
Yeah, he's consistent as well. I think this week I don't like the top of the market. I like the players just below it. I think the value lies in the next rung, if you will. And Patrick Reed, he can be unpopular in the markets because people don't like him, don't they? You know, he's not a very popular character. A few accusations of skullduggery, of course. Maybe that's why he goes off at such attractive prices. But 16-1 this week, I think, is a fantastic each way bet.
Okay, Patrick Reed is the number one selection. Who are the other three you're going to go for this week, Steve?
Next best is a player I know you don't like because he's on a long losing streak, but it's Hideki Matsuyama. And I think the fact he hasn't won for a while it actually can be seen as a positive this week, because at this time of the year, a lot of players easing themselves into the season. I think Matsuyama's going to arrive at full throttle because I think he knows this is a fantastic opportunity on a course that he's proven. Form figures at Kapalua, 3-2-4. And he hasn't played since the course changes last year, but I think the course change is going to help him. He's got a great record on Tiff Eagle Bermuda Greens. They changed the greens to Tiff Eagle Bermuda last year.
What is Tiff Eagle Bermuda?
It's a different strain of Bermuda grass. It's different to the previous greens at Kapalua.
Don't talk to me about mutant strains, man. I've had quite enough of Bermuda.
And his record on Tiff Eagle Bermuda is outstanding. The Phoenix Open did a similar thing at the Phoenix Open, where they switched to Tiff Eagle Bermuda greens. And since they switched to them in Phoenix, Matsuyama's form figures there are 2-1-1. Withdrew after he had a wrist injury after round one. He was 2 under par at the time, 15-16. So amazing record at Phoenix on these greens. And in the Sim Classic, they use these greens. Form figures there 5-2-5. And in the Players' Championship at Sawgrass in March, before the world went mad, we had a round at Sawgrass. You must remember that. Mm. And Hideki Matsuyama, course record 63 on their Tiff Eagle Bermuda greens. So I think he's already got a fantastic record on this course. I think he will enjoy even more now. So I expect Matsuyama to play well. And he's building ahead of steam before Christmas, second in the Houston Open, 13th in the Masters. So. Yeah,
Patrick, why doesn't he win, Steve? Because he doesn't look like he chokes. He just seems to find a two or three sort of too good every week, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's putting issues. Putting issues. Inconsistent putter. But as I say, I think he likes this type of grass on the green. So I think he could putt well this week. It's not his short game as a whole. He's a good chipper. He's a good scrambler. He's around the greens, he's excellent. So, Kapalua traditionally is a course where you've got to scramble well. I think Matsuyama's got the tools to win this, and he's come close before.
So, okay, we've got Reed, we've got Matsuyama.
Reed and Matsuyama, and then we've got two more. Patrick Cantlay, huge boost to morale for Cantlay in October. Went down the stretch against John Rahm and Justin Thomas in the Zozo Championship, and secured home state glory there. That's three PGA Tour titles for Cantlay now. He's long enough to handle Kapalua. He's brilliant around the greens. And last year, after the renovations, he finished fourth. So I've got three solid bets just below the top rung. And then I've got one more, a massive price, 125-1, Lanto Griffin. Long enough to handle the track. Great short game. Made his debut last year. Finished 13th of 34. That was solid enough. His one PGA Tour success came in the Houston Open. He's comfortable in a breeze. You normally get a breeze at Kapalua. Played well in October in the CJ Cup and the Zozo. Contended in those two. And then last time out, just before Christmas, QBE shootout. Playing with Mackenzie Hughes. Not a great partner. Finished tied second in that. So sharpened himself up nicely for this.
Excellent. Very quickly before we move away from the Tournament of Champions. Of those guys at the very head of the market, who do you like most and who do you like least?
I think Justin Thomas is the one I like most. It's hard to find reasons to oppose him. Just don't think he'd be fully switched on. I think he needed a longer Christmas break. He played Mayakoba, then he played the father-son challenge with his dad just before Christmas. I think he's the sort of character that could have done with a longer break. I don't think he'd be fully switched on, but he's very hard to get away from. Dustin Johnson hasn't played since the Masters. Obviously likes to let his hair down. I would imagine he hasn't done much practice since then. Dustin Johnson, 6-1, I can avoid. Schifele's at a bit of pre-Christmas COVID. We don't know his condition. DeChambeau's backable. Your mate DeChambeau, we could get lured into him. But is his touch around the greens good enough for this test? I'm not so sure.
I think with DeChambeau, Steve, what I'm going to do with him is, even if I back other people, I'm going to make sure that if he wins, I don't lose. Because, I mean, this is the sort of track he could just obliterate, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he can get the driver out and go all guns blazing around here. And it's just whether his short game handles it. John Rahm's got new clubs, we must mention that. So he's perhaps another market leader to avoid.
Okay. Excellent. We're off and running. Great to have golf back, isn't it? In these times, there's not too much to look forward to back in lockdown, aren't we? So a golf bet is 4 days of fantastic entertainment. And even though we always preach safe, responsible gambling, I do think that, if you can have a small golf bet that you can afford, like I say, it can give you, 72 hours of pleasure rather than 90 minutes or even just the duration of horse race, can't it? So, Good luck with those ones, Steve. Now then, obviously we're at the start of the new year. Let's look at who you fancy to win the US Tour money list. And they bet on this rather than the FedEx Cup, don't they? This is just quickly, how's this settled? It's simply the player that wins the most money, presumably.
Yeah, wins the most dollar. And it started in September. And this one actually has six majors because we've already had a Masters and a US Open.
Sorry. We did.
My brain disappeared then. Yesterday's news has still rattled me. Dustin Johnson is your man for that. He's already got $3 million on the board. Already going into the new year. He's playing at a course this week that he's won twice before. I mean, we don't know how switched on he's going to be, but if he is switched on, he's got a winning chance. He's finished 24 under on this course before. Then he's going to a WGC venue in Mexico that he's in February that he's won twice before on. He's a course winner for the WGC match play in March. The Masters is obviously a great opportunity for more dollar, the second Masters of this stretch. He's already shown a liking for the Open Championship venue this year, finished second there last time it was used. He's a two-time WGC St. Jude champion. So to cut a long story short, it's entirely feasible that Dustin Johnson could have won three majors and three WGCs by the second week of August. I think Johnson has the potential to bust all the dollar records this season.
What price is he? Because he must of the be short, isn't he?
He was 5-2 when it tipped him just before Christmas. Yeah, I think he's fractionally shorter than that now. I think he's a really rock-solid favourite. If the schedule remains as it is, Johnson will surely set such a mark that he probably cannot be beaten.
And the massive prize you get for winning the FedEx, that doesn't get added to the total, presumably.
No. Just
so when does this end?
Tour Championship, at the end of the Tour Championship. And the bonus money won't count. But he's in command already. And I think he's the only bet you need. Now, I've only got one other next best at enormous price. And that was Tiger Woods at 250-1. I think if he can stay fit for the next 8 months, he could win a few big events and contend for that. Because it seems like the form of his son. I don't know if you watched the father-son challenge before Christmas. No. You know, Charlie Woods at 11 years of age was an absolute sensation. You know, we finally got to see Tiger Woods' son in action. And I think it's going to inspire Tiger. I think they egg each other on because Charlie Woods clearly got a future in the game. Tiger wants to squeeze the most out of the last few years of his career. And the Olympics is this year as well. We must remember that Tiger's desperate to play in the Olympics. He wants an Olympic gold medal as the icing on the cake of, you know, one of the greatest careers ever. And I think he's going to up his work rate and play a bit more this year. US Opens at Torrey Pines. We know who the king of Torrey Pines is. The last major there was won by Tiger. So, yeah, I think 251 Tiger Woods worth in each way dabble. But Dustin Johnson's your man for the money list.
OK, and on the race to Dubai, which was always the European Order of Merit, as it used to be, when people like Ronan Rafferty would win it every year. Who's going to win this?
This is a harder puzzle, obviously, because we might have a few more problems with the schedule. But I think all things considered, Rory McIlroy, who's playing in the first European Tour event, the Abu Dhabi Championship, that's become a Rolex Series event this year. So there's 8,000 Race to Dubai points up for grabs. So we could get off to a flyer in this market. All the major venues are very attractive for McIlroy. Kira Island is the USPGA venue. He won the only major previously played at Kira Island by 8 shots in 2012. His Masters record is solid. Torrey Pines' effort have been solid. He's won the Race to Dubai 3 times. He's jostling for favouritism with John Rahm, who we've already mentioned. John Rahm, he's got a baby due in the summer, and he's playing with new clubs, starting the year with new clubs, just switched to Callaway. So I think McIlroy's definitely the most solid investment in the Race to Dubai, and they've got three more bigger prices. The next best, Victor Hovland, two-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 23. So much scope for improvement. Superstar amateur, ball-striking colossus, desperate for a Ryder Cup debut, so we'll play more in Europe this year. He's already committed to the Saudi International. He finished 11th on his Wentworth debut. He finished third in his DP World Tour Championship debut. Both those events are Rolex Series events this year. Loads of Race to Dubai points. You know, a couple of strong major performances. He'll be in the thick of things. Two more at much bigger prices. Justin Rose, you know, the fine young man, is now 40 years of age.
And he's moving back so to fast, don't they?
Where does the time go? I mean, it seems like only yesterday, doesn't it? Royal Birkdale, 17-year-old Justin Rose, but he's 40 now and he's moved back to Blighty. He's moved back to London. So that's going to improve his access to European Tour events. I expect a revival at the age of 40. This is a former world number one, former US Open champion, former temporary, class is permanent. He's a two-time Masters runner-up. He was third behind McIlroy in that Kira Island USPGA we mentioned. He won the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in 2019. So if he finds his form before the majors, he could have an amazing major season. He's 50-1 for the race to Dubai. And at enormous prices for the race to Dubai, Eric Van Rooyen is a very strong ball striker. He plays well in majors. He was third in the WGC in Mexico last year. They're going to that same venue this year. He's got a good record in the Scottish Open, same venue this year, Rolex Series event. And I can see Van Rooyen playing really well in the Middle East early in the year, getting back in the top 50 of the world rankings, getting in all the big events. So, 125-1, Eric Van Rooyen.
So it's McIlroy, it's Rose, it's Van Rooyen, and who's the other one?
Victor
Hovland. Excellent. Okay, Steve. Now, before we go for it with our major accumulator, I just want one dark horse from the European and US tours that you think could be worth following and might just pop up, if not for a win, at place, maybe get placed at some juicy prices. Who's your American dark horse?
American dark horse is Will Gordon. You remember him from the Travelers Championship in June. He had a sponsors invite there, finished third. Dustin Johnson won that tournament, but Gordon was really impressive. He banked that big check, and then he earned enough money from other sponsors invites to get full status. So he's got full status for this year. He's only 24, great ball striker. He's got all the tools you need for success in the modern game. Yeah, so I think Will Gordon will win a PGA Tour event this year. He'll make his breakthrough.
Okay, excellent. And Europe-wise?
In Europe, I've got a big affection for Hurley Long. Hurley Long is a 25-year-old German. 25-year-old German, could be the new Bernhard Langer. He had a really solid stateside college career. He's the course record holder at Pebble Beach. I think this is an amazing achievement for him. He shot 61 in the 2017 Carmel Cup, an amateur event. So if someone, if you're in like a quiz, I know Adrian Humphreys likes a nice pub quiz. If he's in a pub quiz, he should ask the question, who's the course record holder at Pebble Beach? And you get your Tiger Woodses, your Tom Kites, your Davis Loves. It's Hurley Long. And he came back to Europe and won the 2019 Pro Golf Tour Order of Merit. And he got promoted to the Challenge Tour. And then last year, he won his first Challenge Tour title. So nice progression from Hurley Long. I think he's full of potential. Every time you see him in a European Tour entry list, consider him.
Hurley Long. Wow, that's a new one on me. Okay, right then, Steve. We're going to try and name all four major winners. If you fancy just having a silly 50p each way or a £1 each way accumulator, maybe some trebles and a fourfold, just for small money, just for a bit of fun to try and hit the jackpot, Steve's going to try and do it. First of all, we're back at Augusta in April for the Masters. Who's going to win the Masters, Steve?
Well, the first thing we must say about this is you can't have the same player twice. I mean, that's the tricky aspect of this. We have to accept that Dustin Johnson or maybe even Rory McIlroy could win two majors this year and kill all the Ackers. But, most years they're shared out between four different players. So, I think it's definitely worth it because, as you say, a small stake can earn fortunes on this bet. OK, and the bet I'm about to put up is a general 20,000-1 chance. Okay, so I'm going to win £500,000 when this comes in. It's a 20,000-1 chance, and the four players I mentioned, casual observers now will be thinking, oh, he must have Hurley Long in there or something. But it's a 20,000-1 chance with four of the best players in the world to win majors. It's so conceivable. It's ridiculous. So the first one is the Masters, as you say, and Justin Thomas will be wearing the green jacket in April. Okay, he's got very progressive Masters form figures. 39, 22, 17, 12, 4. You keep that upward curve going. You add a 1 to the end of that in April, okay? Justin Thomas wins the green jacket. Then we go to Kira Island for the USPGA Championship. Rory McIlroy won the only major there's been at Kira Island by 8 shots. Rory McIlroy will win the USPGA at Kira Island. He's got a magnificent USPGA record. So then, those two things are just so easy to see those two things happening. Thomas win the Masters, McIlroy wins the USPGA. So we're on to leg three of our 20,000-1 shot now. This is the tricky one. I'll be honest with you. Leg three is the tricky one. The US Open at Torrey Pines. But I think John Rahm is worth chancing for that. He won his maiden PGA Tour title in the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. His best form last year came on tough tracks. He seems to now relish tough assignments. There's been a change in John Rahm. Obviously, there's two little problems that we've got. These new clubs he's now got. But, by then, by the US Open, he would have got used to these new clubs, I would imagine. And the other little curveball is that he's got a baby due around them. But I'm trying to, he hasn't announced the date of it, but I've been judging it and working through a few sources, and I think it will become just after.
What sources?
I can't reveal my sources.
The Rahm family midwife's been onto your show.
Yeah, I've been on the phone to a few hospitals. And, yeah, I think it's going to come after the US Open, OK? Just after. So, yeah, I think John Rahm, if we can get him to go to a post, he's going to want to play in the major, isn't he? I know he'll get some, first babies are obviously important, and he will want to be there. But I do think he'll do everything he can to get to Torrey Pines, because he knows what a great opportunity that is. So we've got Thomas McIlroy, John Rahm, and then the final one, we can all head to the Open Championship in July. The sun will be out in July. We'll all be free again. Vaccines flooding through our veins. And Dustin Johnson will win the Open Championship in July and make us all rich. He finished runner-up to Darren Clarke in the last Open at Royal St. George's 2011. Yeah, I can see Dustin Johnson winning the Open. So, yeah, if we get to the Open Championship with Dustin Johnson to make us all millionaires, that would be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it? Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Steve. So we'll just quickly, before we go, reiterate your four tips for the Century Tournament of Champions this week.
Patrick Reed, Hideki Matsuyama, Patrick Cantlay and Lanto Griffin.
Excellent. Thanks, Steve. What have we got next week?
We got the Sony Open in Hawaii. We have, nice bit of normality back, isn't it? At the start of the year with those two Hawaii events.
Are you going to be staying up and burning midnight oil? Because that's the one thing I don't like about the curtain raisers. You have to stay up to like 2:45, don't you, to see it all happen? But I suppose we've got nothing else to do, have we?
Yeah, you could always tape it, as I like to call it. my wife always gets frustrated when I ask her if she's taped something. Yeah, we can do that, can't we? I'm watching in the morning. But yeah, I'd probably stay up all night because I'm not a great sleeper anyway.
Oh, fair enough. Excellent. All right then, Steve, thank you very much indeed for your input. Thank you for joining us on The Sweet Spot. Steve and I will be back next week for another Sweet Spot. Don't forget, bet safely. Good luck with your bets, and we'll see you next week.